Hello and welcome to another episode of Bupps's Dharma Lounge. Think of this as a time and place to relax and consider all things Dharma. Perhaps you'd like to pour yourself a cup of tea, coffee, mix a cocktail, this is a lounge after all, and join me. Hi, and welcome to Bupps's Dharma Lounge. This is Bupsa Frank Jude, and I want to share, like, this is a labor of love. I love the Dharma. I love sharing the Dharma, and so I do not monetize this. There's no ads, no subscriptions, no hidden fees, and so I want to, before getting into this week's topic, or this episode's topic, I don't do this every week, that's for sure, I want to thank those of you who have been really generous in supporting this show, this episodes, and previous episodes. Some of you very consistently, specifically Chatra Sandy Greenberg, Gabion Sally Weber, Jochen Tatiana Staloff, Jabuna Allison Brown, Jishin Carolyn Hill. You've been really wonderful and consistent in your Dana offerings, so I really want to call you out and thank you for that. Also, Karen Carlson, a new Dana offer, and a very generous offering from N.A. Joe Willers. So again, thank you all for the Dana support. Now, if you're out there and you would like to offer anything, there's no minimum, no maximum. It's a real, think of it as a gift, right? This is a gift to you. And if you'd like to offer any Dana, then it's a gift. This is not a fee for service. Other ways, though, that you can support the podcast is, first of all, subscribing. And if you haven't subscribed already, please do. If you're watching on YouTube, hit like. Feel free to comment, offer suggestions, anything like that at all. If you are listening on some of the other platforms and there's ratings available, 4- and 5-star ratings are really gratefully accepted. And then finally, and very importantly, word of mouth. Right? Share this podcast with anyone that you might think is even remotely interested in any of the topics that we discuss here at the lounge. All right, so again, thank you. So now, the title of this episode, Isn't All Yoga Mindful? That's a question that has been asked of me, sometimes challengingly, sometimes rhetorically, by practitioners over the years, right, many times. And let me be frank, no pun intended, of course I agree. All yoga should be practiced mindfully, but really, honestly, and sadly, ever since yoga's been kind of contextualized as a wellness practice instead of a contemplative or spiritual practice, and pretty much reduced to the practice of postures and movements in a very mainstream, commodified practice of yoga, often as a workout or some kind of exercise regimen, we really cannot safely assume that mindfulness is present in all such contexts and venues. But that aside, there's still a difference between yoga that is practiced mindfully and the approach that I take and that I've written about, which I call mindfulness yoga. Now, I want to enter into this discussion with an old story, and it's so old that it features cigarette smoking. So please in no way take this as any kind of endorsement for cigarette smoking, right? But there is an old story about two Zen students who are on retreat wondering if the Roshi, their teacher, would allow them to smoke while on retreat. So they discuss among themselves that they would ask separately the Roshi during Dokusan. Dokusan is individual consultations that you have generally, you know, depending on the size of the retreat, maybe at least once a day. So this is in the morning. In the afternoon, one of the students notices the other one sitting in the garden smoking a cigarette. So the student looks and goes up to him and whispers, because it's supposed to be a silent retreat. Why are you smoking? The Roshi told me that I couldn't smoke. And the student who's smoking, I could just imagine as he exhales, says like, well, what did you ask the Roshi? And the other student responds, I asked if I could meditate while smoking. Well, the smoking student answered, as he takes another drag, I asked if I could smoke while meditating. Now, hopefully, anyone engaging in asana practice, postures, if they understand the purpose of yoga, is doing it mindfully. That is to say, as they move into trigonasana, triangle posture, for instance, they're doing it mindfully, paying attention to what and how they're doing the posture, right? But as you can see, to say one is doing the asana mindfully is putting the emphasis on the asana. Mindfully, in that case, is an adjective describing how one is engaged with the posture. With mindfulness yoga, as the proper noun makes clear, the emphasis is on the practice and the cultivation of mindfulness through the vehicle of the postures. Right? So in mindful yoga, one is practicing asana mindfully. In mindfulness yoga, one is practicing mindfulness while in the posture. Like the difference between meditating while smoking or smoking while meditating, there is an experiential difference between doing triangle posture mindfully or practicing mindfulness while in triangle posture. Further, for me, what I coined mindfulness yoga is a form or approach to asana practice and including pranayama, specifically based upon the Buddha's instructions that he gave in the Satipatthana Sutta and the Anapanasati Sutta, which are two of the most comprehensive discourses that present mindfulness practice. In mindfulness yoga, whether we're practicing slow movement, restorative yoga, yin, or vinyasa flow, however we're approaching the postures and the movements, the actual foundation for practice is the practice of sati, which is the word generally translated as mindfulness. Now, to be perfectly clear, with the mainstreaming of mindfulness, much of the practice of sati has been pretty much left behind. Mindfulness is not the same as merely paying attention in a particular way, on purpose, in the present moment, and non-judgmentally, which is the way it's most often described by many contemporary mindfulness teachers. You could look at a previous episode called So, What is Mindfulness? For a longer discussion about this. And while you're at it, you might want to check out the episode Neoliberal Buddhism. So, mindfulness is based upon such an orientation to the present moment. We do need to observe what is happening purposefully and without judgment and without reactivity. But that's not the end-all be-all. That's only to enable us to then see more clearly, to have sampajana, which can be translated as clear comprehension or clearly understanding of the present moment and how it comes to be. If we judge or react, if we get caught in our reaction to the present moment, we're no longer really seeing it clearly, right? We're seeing it through the filter of our reactivity. So the practice of mindfulness is the yoking of our reactivity. And I think it's important to remember that yoking is the original understanding of the term yoga. But we're not yoking our reactivity just, to be stoic about it. We're doing it in order to see clearly what are the actual causes and conditions that have led to the present moment. And we want to do that so that we can discern what and how we should respond. For instance, if the present moment is a positive one filled with joy and very wholesome, which, let's face it, that's a judgment, right? We're judging the present moment as positive. Then we are determined to continue nurturing those causes and conditions, right, that led to the present moment so that it can continue or recur in the future. On the other hand, if the present moment sucks, right, if it's filled with a dukkha, it's unwholesome, then we respond in such a way to work to cut off the causes and conditions, to avoid repeating them in the future, to prevent the future arising of dukkha. So the full practice of mindfulness is not this atomistic looking at the present moment, but it's doing so while remembering. And that's the actual root of the word sati, right? Remembering what led to its arising, so that the practice of sati is relational. It requires memory, it requires discernment, so that we can move from our conditioned reactivity to a more creative and skillful response. If one is living only in the present moment, there's no relationship possible. Relationship requires memory. Just ask anyone who has a family member suffering from dementia if you doubt that. So, with mindfulness practice as I present it, and as I present it in my book, for those of you on YouTube, this is what it looks like, mindfulness yoga. We follow the various practices that the Buddha outlined in the two suttas that I referred to previously, the Satipatthana and the Anapanasati suttas. And just these suttas include the practice of mindfulness while observing and investigating the process of breathing, the positions and the activities of the body. I mean, the Buddha includes everything from like putting his robe on to defecating and urinating and eating, right? So any activity, any position of the body. He includes the various anatomical parts of the body, the elements that constitute the body, and the ultimate state of the body, right? All of that is just the first domain of mindfulness, the body. Then we get into the feelings. The feelings arising are pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Do they arise physiologically or psychologically? Right. The next domain, we would include all mental activity, perception, thinking, emotions. And then finally, the fundamental categories of the Buddha Dhamma, known as dharmas, phenomena. This brief episode is simply an introduction to a series that I will be presenting on the four domains of mindfulness. Most often they're called the four foundations or the four establishments. In a future episode, I'll explain why I don't have a problem with that, but I actually prefer using the word domain. Now, to inaugurate this series of podcast episodes, I will be offering a signed copy of my book to the first five people in North America that provide a $30 offering or more. I'm sorry that I have to limit this offer to North America, but I cannot afford shipping costs beyond that. Right? And that's really the reason why I'm asking for $30, because there's the cost of the book, which I have to pay for, and the postage. So I'm not doing this for a profit or anything. For those of you who live outside of North America, mindfulness yoga is also available in Dutch and German, Korean, and Chinese. So if you're interested in getting the book, it's been translated into those languages as well. So again, I look forward to doing a deep dive over a series of episodes, including even asana practice. So you'll be getting some yoga practice in there too. So again, stay well, be well, please support the podcast, and have a really great day today, every day. a 7-week course on the fourth domain of mindfulness, mindfulness of the Dharma, will be presented starting in June. I will be posting a very short little video describing it, and it's a really great opportunity to, if you're ever interested in learning anything about Buddhism, to join and learn about the core aspects of the Buddha Dharma.